Hey, bro, I ain't gonna lie, man. That damn Khalees, I tried the crazy one time. I tried some.
We all have.
Yeah, but that one right there look like that's almost on par with Erykah Badu crazy. I test that thing out, boy.
That's what every other dude said. And they get in the mix and be like, yeah, I should have let that shit alone. I should have went with my first thought.
No, man, she got me dressing like Carmen and what's his name?
And Andre.
Andre. What's the other rapper, man?
Jay Electronica.
Yeah.
I'm like,
man.
Him too.
I'm gonna have a tuxedo jacket on with some crochet pants.
Yeah, some crochet pants. Chuck Taylors.
Hey, but Big Boy was like, hey, my dog was already like on that before he got with her, so I don't know why people trying to say she did that.
He was already weird.
He had a unique style, but when he got with her, that thing just took off. Like,
went to a different place. Yeah, because I mean, that was like, you know, the first album, he just was like a regular A-Town nigga. And then AT Aliens came out, and it was like,
that's when
it started getting a little weird. Like, wait, what's going on? That nigga just kept going and kept going. Everybody just, it's great, so you just fuck with it, you know? Like, that's like the greatest writer of all time, bro.
What about that, man? I be telling people, I say, man, I don't know if y'all pay attention to what this nigga was saying.
Yeah.
What he was saying back then, he was like, God, this nigga was really in his pocket. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I remember I told y'all, I had watched the Jimi Hendrix movie, and that's him acting in the movie. But I'm like, no, that's really how that nigga want to be in real life.
Yeah.
He really want to be like that.
Man, you seen CeeLo's son?
Oh yeah, I seen something. The rock star thing. I'm like, oh, this nigga son crazy.
I was like, hey, I'm like, well, CeeLo weirdo nigga too. So
yeah,
he made, why y'all so shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
he had little red eyelashes over his. I'm like, oh yeah, this.
Yeah, CeeLo had red on contact, man.
Yeah.
He's on his name Lake Erie.
Yeah, that threw me off, man. I was like, what? Like, what is this? Like this, hey, this ain't the CeeLo Green from the Dungeon Family, and you know what I'm saying?
That's the Nars. What's the Nars? What do you call it?
It really is, though.
Gnarls Barkley.
Yeah, I was just about to say, he like Dre, like, I swear, he couldn't wait to be like
weird
old type shit. Yeah, like I didn't know how much of that was who influenced who. You know, was it Dre influencing him? But him influencing
CeeLo was like CeeLo was. He was always like kind of the outside of the group. You know what I'm saying? Like you looked at the rest of the Goody Mob, you're like, okay, yeah, them niggas. Cujo, he looked like he from the hood. Mm-hmm. CeeLo, you know what I'm saying? He looked like
Big Gip.
Gip, he looked like he from the hood, but at least Gip had some style to it.
Yeah, yeah.
CeeLo was like that the first album though. The first album, he just came off like a, you know, regular hood nigga to me.
No, yeah, CeeLo was spitting. I mean, even
the
now,
first like, album, then it started again, just like Dre, kind of started to, like, oh, okay, a little different. But both of them, but that's the thing with CeeLo so cold too that you just ain't care. Like, nigga, his pen so cold, you just be like, all right, I guess that's what that weird nigga on, man. That nigga can rap his ass off and talk about some real shit, so.
Yeah, that was one where I think it was like, I don't recall ever graduating at all. Sometimes I'm a disappointment to y'all. I was like, oh, this nigga is ill.
Yeah.
I'm like, this nigga ill with the pad. What?
That cell therapy verse. That was the first time I heard them boys ever. When he was rapping on cell therapy, I was like, oh, this nigga talking that shit, boy. And when that nigga said, when he ended the verse, he said, now every now and then, I wonder if that gate was put up to keep crime out of keep our ass in.
Yeah.
I said, boy, that nigga, He got that made third wide open.
yeah. It made you think.
I knew I was already on that tight time, but I was like, to hear somebody rap like that. You don't hear people, niggas don't rap about, you know, shit deeper than that a lot. Not at that time. You know what I'm saying? A lot of your but rap was just.
At that time, like the deep rap was like conscious rap. You know what I'm saying? But that was,
right.
That was deep conscious street rap. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Really exactly.
Like this nigga really said something that's real. Like right. This is really what's happening. But yeah, that nigga, him and Dre, they panning.
So answer this though. So do you think Kendrick would have been bigger back then than he is now because of that? Because of like the kind of like the conscious rap thing that you just spoke about?
No.
You don't think so?
Without Dre, without 3000, you don't get Kendrick.
Right. 3000, yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Because I was putting Common in that too. Like he was on that kind of too. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a little different with Common. Like Common was more. It was more like, boom bap.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Dre was like funk.
It wasn't boom bap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they shit was the funk and it had the funk inspiration.
The southern right. Hip hop,
soul R&B. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mix that like Boosie
Common. Common is all boom bap. Yeah. And he raw, he dope, but yeah, sure. He's all boom bap. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if you could put Common in to like the categories with Kendrick and them, but Common can spit like now. If you just put him in a room and tell them boys to spit, then yeah, Common probably gonna do it with the best of them. But as far as with what the culture brought, yeah, you don't get 3000. I mean, you don't get Kendrick without 3000. It's just impossible because. If you listen to Kendrick, it's almost like you listening to a young Andre. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, and I think Kendrick, like, you know, he get his style from, like, Dre and Wayne. You know, he kind of blend all that up. And I think like, he hit at the perfect time for him to be as big as he is. Now, I think if he'd have came out back then, he might have got washed out by they wave. Like if he came out around that same time, he might not have got hurt.
Wayne would have definitely watched him because he would have, you know, they would have the coaches just loved Wayne at that time.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The star might have been shining too bright. If you take it back to the 90s.
Watched by Wayne. And then I don't even know if he would have stood a chance with Outkast, because it was like once Outkast hit, everybody like you see, they instantly demanded the respect of hip hop. So it'd have been like, okay. And remember back then, from the West, it was just like, okay, it was pop. You know what I'm saying? And then you had like Snoop and Dre, and then that was basically it. You know what I'm saying? You had other West Coast groups and stuff or artists, but it wasn't really, those was the ones that everybody said, okay, that's it. You know what I'm saying? And then it was the New York side. And then it was the Midwest, and then the South. Just we was just on a different little timetable. But yeah, I don't know if Kendrick would have hit big in the 90s, probably early 2000s before Game got hot.
Yeah.
Everything be on God timing, man. Like it was right time for him to do what he doing, and it was perfect for hip hop for like. We needed a Kendrick, like when Kendrick came about, we needed a Kendrick in the game. Because as much as I like Dre, that's just one, that's such a different offshoot of hip hop that it was good to see somebody come back in and be big, but really be talking some real shit, like something beyond emotional shit, like really, really talking about shit the community need to address that we as a people got to look at, like, all right, this is conscious rap, but it's over some dope beats. He's really creative, you know what I mean? And you could tell he's a thinker. It was the perfect time for it. Like hip-hop needed Kendrick Lamar when he came out at that time. So, you know, everything going on the time is supposed to happen, man. He had to pay his dues, and, you know, he opened up for Drake at one point, you know, like that's how the world go around.
I still remember him and Nipsey, man. The first time they came to Miami, like nobody knew them. So We had him at Fillmore, and this when he dropped Swimming Pool. Kendrick dropped Swimming Pool.
Mm-hmm.
But I was up on Nipsey a lot earlier because my homeboy from Cali, he put me up on. And I was like, damn, it's something about this dude I like. I just like how his persona is, man, and how he carries himself. And then, you know, I started the music. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, the music was tight. And then when Kendrick performed Swimming Pool, like, I just heard the song probably, like, for the first time, and I didn't know a bunch of these hipsters in Miami, they sang the song word for word. And then, as you know, they like, Kendrick is this big rap. Like, man, we just had this at the field. Hold on. Like, I ain't know who dude was. He's singing the song, and next you know, I'm like, oh, this nigga is damn.
I wasn't fucking with that first shit I heard from Kendrick. Overly Dedicated. That shit, I still don't like it. I listened back to it not that long ago. I was like, yeah, that shit ain't slapped me. When he first got introduced to me, I was like, man, get this nigga the fuck out of here. I wasn't fucking with that shit. I ain't gonna lie to you. Section 80 is when I started. Yeah, Section like, 80, vibing to him.
80 yeah. put me on, yeah. But
yo, I heard that Overly Dedicated shit. I was like, man, this nigga just rapping. Like, I don't hear all this rappity rap shit.
So that song right there, along with I forget the other song, that's when
Money Trees.
The Black Hippie thing. And them niggas were just rapping. And I was like, okay, yeah, these niggas, they can rap. I want to hear them niggas put the song together. You know what I'm saying? All of them, Schoolboy, and Absol. Yeah, these niggas, they can
J-Rock.
Just rap. No, this is before they got, this is before J-Rock came. J-Rock came in afterwards. It was just those three.
Them three.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, these niggas can rap, but they can't put no songs together. And then all of a sudden, these niggas start putting songs together. And I'm like, oh, yeah, these. They on a whole other level right now, boy. And Absol, I'm like, yeah, I don't think there's only one dude I know in the rap game that probably can mess with Absol, and that nigga named Lupe.
Yeah, I was just about to say Lupe.
I don't know if nobody else ready to get on that
Lupe
mic.
In my top
five. Listen, but yeah, hey, boy, I'm a big Lupe fan, man. Like, I was on Lupe for a very long time. And my uncle was like, man, you being in Miami, like, growing up, cause like I said, I'm 43. So kind of growing up, niggas was like really on listening to Trick Daddy and Rick Ross. That's what they niggas really was on. You know what I'm saying? But man, Lupe, bro, I was on Lupe heavy, bro. I'm a big Lupe fan.
And that was the funny part about me, nigga. Like, boy, as you so street, but you be listening to all type of New York hip hop. I like, man, listen, I like music. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's gonna make my mind think. I don't just want to listen to Trick all day or listen to Jeezy or, you know what I'm saying, Rick Ross. And like, I remember when T.I. first came out, nigga was like, oh man, we barely gonna understand what this nigga saying. I'm like, well, y'all ain't listening. That nigga saying some stuff. Like,
yeah.
He rapping.
I think that's something we all got in common. Like, we all from the South, but we like all hip hop is. Like, I might have been diversified beyond just the South, like beyond Georgia, coming from Georgia, like, you know, all that shit, man. I really wasn't rocking with most Southern artists really until Cass, really. Previous to that, I used to be like, man, I don't hear all this booty shake ass bullshit. Like, I didn't appreciate like the shit from Miami until I was like 17, 18. I wasn't getting it back then. Then when I started going out a little bit, I was like, oh, okay, all right. Now, I see what this is. Now I get Miami bass. I didn't get none of that stuff back then. When my boys be playing Poison Clan and shit, I'm like, I don't get this shit. No, I went into it. Not fucking with that shit, bro. Like I say, the South wasn't my main listening point when I was young. When I first started really getting into hip hop, it was probably West Coast mostly. That was like the West majority Coast of what I was listening to.
West Coast, yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you. So when Lupe had first came out, and when the Kick Push song came out, and like I was really one of the only ones that was kind of listening to it, like mother homie, I was like, bro, what is that? I was like, man, this old dude named Lupe Fiasco, man. Like, nah, we don't listen to that, man. Like, what is that? Man, when that damn Superstar came out, man, them niggas whole tune changed, boy. I was like, bro. Man, this shit here fire. I say, man, y'all just that Lupe, man. That if you like are that, yeah. What you say, you are. Yep.
I remember riding listening to Ye first album, my homeboy. We had fact was having Tyler Hatch to go watch football game. Go watch on Florida State Miami. You're a Florida State fan. My boy P. And I was playing this Ye, and he just wanted to listen to like fucking Paul Wall and Chameleon Man shit. I was like, man, he's like, man, cut this shit off, man. I was like, nah, nigga, this shit relate more to your life than them niggas. Like he talking about regular nigga shit back then. You think like an actual, not a street nigga, just a regular dude that just a black man in America. You know, he might come from the hood, but he ain't really a street nigga. I'm like, this is more you than Jeezy. I like Jeezy too, nigga, but let's listen, let's check Cuz out. And then, yeah, like you said, by the time the next album come out, now niggas all amped up. I'm like, oh, now you fucking get it. I'm like,
yeah.
Back then, you was bucking. You were acting like I was on some weird shit.
Yeah, I started off, like I say, man, the first song that made me really love hip-hop was F the Police. I was like, you know, I just ain't know niggas could talk like that. Like, yeah. Niggas could really talk like that. Like, oh yeah, so I instantly became an NWA fan. But yeah, at the same time being an NWA fan, I was a Ghetto Boys fan. You know what I'm saying? Because Ghetto Boys was our South NWA. We were like,
yeah.
South NWA. So, like, yeah, I was, of course, I was on JT Money. That's the homie and them. Once Trick came out, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I never really cared too much about bass music. I know the only reason I care because you see the girls shaking booty.
That's like, it. Yep.
Hey, so
okay.
So two things, right? One, I'm gonna tell you one that's underrated, right? People don't really talk about that much, but who be spitting? Childish Gambino. I got listen to some of his older stuff. Hey, Childish Gambino is cold, bro. Did you hear his freestyle on Sway in the Morning over that pound cake beat? Over that Drake pound cake beat?
Yeah.
You ain't hear that?
Nah, I ain't hear
that. Oh my gosh. But you might want to go on YouTube and you might want to pull it up. He's so cold because he's
dope. He dope.
And then
JID is that's the nigga.
Who that?
JID.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Right now, I don't think it's he on Kendrick level as far as rapping. He on Kendrick level as far as rapping. They don't give him the respect that he deserves. Yeah. That nigga album, his songs, and he like one of the young niggas that I actually like.
But I'm gonna tell you, but the song, like, I used to listen to a lot of, like, because when I stayed in Warner Robins with my cousins, like, they listened to a lot of, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that, even whatever. But the one song that kind of put me, like I really kind of fell in love with hip hop was Souls of Mischief, 93 Until Infinity.
Okay.
That's like a top three hip hop song for me ever.
I don't know if I need to jump out because I can't hear Larry.
You can't
hear
me?
I can't hear Meezy either.
Meezy ain't saying nothing.
Meezy ain't saying nothing.
Yeah, I just got it. What?
Yeah, I'm gonna jump out.
But you can hear me, bro.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, I can hear all y'all. We good.
All right. Let him refresh.
We're all right.
Get rolling anyway. We about damn turn to a hip hop podcast.
And that's the barbershop. You know what I'm saying? Just random.
Yeah, man. Now, old lady be like, "What the hell?" And you go to the shop, and your old lady be like, "What you doing at the shop so long?" You be like, "Man, nigga, just
us, you know, we just
not talking about sports and everything." You know, motherfucking up in there, like,
it ain't nothing like it for real, though.
It's not, like, man. It's not
like our whole conversation. How did they? I'm gonna tell you how I know it's barbershop talk. Oh, bro, I don't even remember how this conversation started, bro. I'm gonna have to listen to the pod on how we even started.
I think we started talking about how weird, you know. Remember?
You
brought up Khalees. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I say, man, nigga take a chance with Khalees and
Oh yeah, for sure.
And then we start talking about how weird the niggas dresses. Then we like, well, shoot, them niggas can rap.
Yeah.
Them niggas turn weird over that sack.
I got down Khalees, man. I can see it.
Hey, Larry, I remember we had We had to tell Meezy about Lupe that one time. This nigga thought Lupe was really talking about a skateboard. We like, man, that nigga ain't talking about no skateboard.
Nigga, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Nigga, it's so funny. After that happened too, bro, nigga, I started making a phone call the next day. I was like, hey, y'all remember that shit we was doing in high school? That nigga was talking about selling dope the whole goddamn time.
Straight no, this nigga Meezy thought a nigga talking about a skateboard.
Yeah. It's one of them things. All right, shit. I get the big rolling.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes Football Barbershop out. It's your guy Land in the building. Got the whole gang with me today. And we are going to get into the early depth chart. Football never stops. The portal is closed as far as exits goes. You know, people who are in there can still join. But so we don't have anybody else leaving. So we're probably fairly set. So we figured we'd like to get into it early, man, and just get into an early look at the depth chart. And what this roster going to probably shape up to look like before we get into, obviously, spring ball and then later on fall ball. But to talk about it, gang is here. Got my main man, Turnpike Meezy, in the building. Please say the Turnpike.
Please say the Turnpike. What it do, man? 26 degrees. Like Larry said, going to run down the depth chart for y'all, tell y'all how we feel, how we going to go about it and rock out this season, man. We got the real Phil General X in the building. What it do?
X just fell out just that quick. Also, well, he'll be right back.
Chef Rob. All that people, Chef Rob.
At the pivot.
Hey, what's happening? What's good with it? You already know. Chef Rob in the kitchen. Always. Yeah, man. Ready to get into this good talk, man, about this. But what we got on the roster, man, like I said, it's all excitement, man. Like, I ain't been this excited. I mean, I was excited last year, but I ain't been this excited. And I want to say it's been a while. It's been a while. So just ready to get to it, man.
Yeah, we got to come off an amazing season. The guys, I won't even say exceeded our expectations per se. I thought we could have a really great season. I thought we could get into the playoffs and at least win a game in the playoffs. That's the type of season I anticipated. To get to the Natty was obviously icing on the cake. You know, it would have been tremendous to go ahead and bring home number six, but you can't be disappointed, I don't believe. So, yeah, and what we're left with is what we're about to get into now is a roster that actually – leads you to believe that this team will once again be competitive for the third season in a row. And we haven't been able to have that feeling in 20 years. It's been about 20 years since you expect Miami to be good next year. Like, that's been a long time since, like, now the expectations have been raised. The trajectory is in a whole different place than, you know, some other programs. And now, you know, that's why, like, I joke, but I don't joke. You know, when it comes to the other two programs in the state that are supposed to be a part of the Big Three, I really be like, hey, I really ain't got time to talk to y'all right now. You're not here. The things that we're doing and the place that the program is at, holler at me when you get here, and then, you know what I'm saying, I'll let you in. But right now, y'all not in that realm. So that's where the program currently sits.
It's just going to be troll talk. I mean, you can't really have no real football conversations.
Yeah, before. Yeah. And the trolls ain't slapping. They not.
They ain't hitting at all.
We're too successful to hear another stadium joke, to hear, it's been 500 years since they won the ACC. It's like, brother, that man, come on, man. You can't think that joke funny, man. That joke been told 129 times today. You know, so.
It got so bad. Look, it got so bad. These boys went from talking about football championships to, well, they haven't seen a major sports championship.
Yeah.
And somebody's like,
listen, bro.
Come on, man. Like, come on, man.
Like, ain't nobody on here. Let me tell you why. And I know just who you're talking about, because it ain't but one fan base on that dumb shit. Gators fan.
Of course.
I've never seen y'all sit here and argue about basketball or football or baseball, excuse me, with anybody on this timeline. Because don't nobody on this fucking timeline care about that shit. So y'all keep being everything school. Congratulations. We're here to talk football. We don't care about everything. If the Canes are good in basketball, which they are right now, are shout out Jay Lucas doing a good job putting together a good roster. Boys playing good ball. You know they expect the baseball team to be good. The thing is we not gonna try to be phony like y'all and act like that shit is we live and breathe that shit. If they good, we gonna be like yay. What's that?
It don't matter. I don't care nothing about that. Don't act like y'all care. Y'all care about football, but it hurts y'all because y'all not good. So then y'all want to resort to talking about, oh well, we good in basketball and we good in baseball. And
hey, y'all niggas old.
Got a good education system, man. Shut up.
You don't. It's the easiest school to get in out of the three. I don't know. Yep. Florida State probably right there. Either way, Miami the hardest out of them two. But anyway, yeah. So let's look at the top, man. Obviously, Darian Mensah, huge investment as far as you know what they did to go get him, the efforts they took to put that together, make it happen.
Oh, don't forget to say, Larrion, we paid $10 million. $15 million.
That's right. Hey, listen. If it could be $32 million, the thing you have to understand is wasn't your money, wasn't my money, wasn't X money, wasn't Music money, wasn't D Rod money, wasn't none of that money. So that's still what it is. You don't know the details. A1, there was a settlement paid. Sure, absolutely, there was a settlement paid, and it was whatever the fuck it was. I guarantee you, they didn't settle out for $4 million. Promise you, it wasn't that. And even if it was, again, not your money. Quit worrying about the wrong thing. Your team sucks. You're not a good lawyer. And you don't have time to be worrying about these type of things, man. Just need to be putting up lemonade stands and selling bean pies, trying to get Mike Norvell buyout out. I heard the Spanx lady back around the corner. They say they trying to work her in. They say that she back trying to get her to buy out another contract, so. But
I mean, you
have out to the homie, man. Tim Ice Harris Jr., man. He got elevated the offensive coordinator.
Next head coach.
Mike still gonna call the plays. Mike basically saying, yeah, I'm finna die, man. Let me die on the hill. Let me die with my production.
Yeah, Tim about to get that job, man. Congratulations. You know, they can get him for the low. He probably that fire Mike. He gonna get the troops to rally. They're gonna win 3 games. And then I can hear him crying all over again because they're gonna hire Tim. No offense to Tim, but you know, he ain't been in that position quite yet. He's not gonna have the resources. But hey, congratulations on both new jobs. First the OC and then head coach. So we'll see with the headset on. I'll let your boy. But yeah, Darian Mensah, man. To me, in all honesty, you know, X spoke on it before. I definitely felt in a similar manner that this was a guy that I wish we had went after or could have gone after the first time he went in the portal, and we weren't able to because he was tampered with at Tulane by Duke. So
why
as
y'all
soon
think
as he got
he didn't
in,
try to do that originally?
We have a shot. He already had his shit together with Duke.
I mean,
he's in and out of the portal like that. They tampered with him, which is fine.
Yeah, they tampered with him. They definitely tampered.
Tulane beat them. Tulane beat Duke.
Yeah, because he was in the portal, and then he signed with Duke like 2 days later.
Right. So that's why we didn't go after it. It wasn't an opportunity. I believe we would have. I think he would have been a high target, if not the top target at that time.
No, I'm talking about this past cycle, like why we didn't try to do this like from jump.
Well, he wasn't in the portal. He
wasn't in the portal when we got him either.
Meezy, listen, Meezy, check this out, right? So this cycle that just closed, right? He was not in the portal. He had all them plans to stay, right? But from what I heard was what I read, is when Sam Levitt decided to go to LSU, his agent contacted Miami and Tennessee and was trying to see if they were interested in trying to get Mensa. Tennessee, obviously, they ain't got no money. And then they, you know, the whole Joey Aguilar situation, you know what I'm saying? I guess they were trying to see if he was going to get his year because he appealed it. And he's still trying to get his 6 year, right? With Miami, you know, hey, it is what it is. And that's how that came about. People were saying that, oh, we tampered with him and we initiated contact. No, we didn't. The agent initiated contact. That's how we ended up with him now, this year. Now, last cycle, the previous year, remember, he still played.
I know what happened that previous year, but I was just.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess you answered my question because I was like, it wasn't easy to get him, but if we got him at the last hour, why didn't we try to get him in the first damn hour? But I get
because
it.
Because it wasn't an option. It wasn't an option in the first hour. I mean, that was until agent, the agent, like D-Rob said. Right, because the agent probably thought, because, I mean, to my understanding, and X, I think X spoke on it before as well, Levitt basically told the staff he was coming.
Yeah,
so did. There was, I think there was an understanding that, like, for Mensa, he already had a deal in place. His deal was a two-year deal, too. That's the other thing. I mean, he was on a two-year deal. So it had to be some wiggle work to get it done to begin with. So that's the only reason it's even outrage. If you wasn't on a two-year deal, then he could jump in the portal and nobody gives a shit. But the fact that he was on a two-year deal, it was like, wait, no, you signed for 2 years and you got to honor the contract, blah, blah, blah. I think his side was just thinking, we're just going to do our two. You know, it is what it is. We'll stay over here and do the best we can to raise his stock.
Well, ultimately, screwed Duke over was the fact that they when they did get this deal done, the deal did have, like you say, wiggle room to renegotiate for him to get a new deal. If Duke was smart enough, they would, as soon as the season was over, I would have gotten him a new deal. I wouldn't have let my quarterback stay under this 2 year contract. So Duke thought, well, we're gonna keep him for this 2 year deal, which was basically saying we're gonna keep him for cheap, which was stupid. Your quarterback was second leading passer in the country. You don't think you're going to negotiate, nigga? Please. So They kept that contract intact, thinking he's going to have to honor it regardless. No, they had the contract in hand saying this contract can be renegotiated.
Well, since we actually said we would talk about this real quick. What do you think Mensa's getting paid? I don't know. You know, I don't know how much will be made public. Right. So my imagination and just kind of reading the tea leaves on the situation, I believe they probably paid Duke about $2 million to get him out of that deal.
Mensa camp end up giving, I guess. So it's basically they gave back the $4 million.
Well, that's basically.
So he received four.
$4 million though, right?
It was because it was going to be two from last year and then the two from this year. And then it was a bonus, I think, that was added to the deal or something like that. So I don't know. But again, like I say, it wasn't – Mensa did it out of the likeness because he didn't have to give him back four. He could have just said, I'm going to give you two for this year. I'm gone. But just for him to say, hey, let's just get this over with so I could go on about my business. I just want to get done with that. And that helped UM out a lot because then UM didn't have to give anything to Duke. Which they didn't, regardless of if Mensa came or not. They didn't have to give Duke nothing. The money that everybody kept saying Miami was going to have to give was to value what Mensa had to pay back plus what UM was going to give. Which is why it was going to be like a $6 million thing. And I don't even think it's that. I think...
were saying $10 million.
I think it's probably like around... The Beck situation, probably like three point something. You know what I'm saying? And then he'll get incentives. Well, it could go to like $4 to $5 million. You know what I'm saying? And then he's going to have so many NIL opportunities where Miami don't have to pay it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think Beck base was four and went up to six something. I think he damn near made 6.5. Yeah. I think the problem with Duke's case in the first place was they're trying to argue that they were going to suffer irreparable damages, right? Like, meaning, how can we now recover from this? Well, if he gives the money back,
last hour.
Yeah, but if they get a money, if he gets the money back, then what? Then what's the damage? You didn't lose anything. Here's your money back. Here's your money. I'm moving on. You can't prove what he would have made you. You can only prove what you paid. So if you get your money back, which would have been the $4 million, however that chopped up, I don't know if he actually ever got the four and just gave the four back, or if he had two and gave that back, whatever the case was, I'm sure there was something where they were recompensated for. I mean, I know there was a settlement, so they were recompensated somewhat financially, right? And maybe some sugar on top, just depends. And then people are going to assume that Miami helped take care of that bill. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I don't know.
Miami not really. Miami definitely paid. Listen, one thing, Miami ain't finna pay another college. Like, we'll pay a player. We ain't even pay another college. I take that up, of course. You know what I'm saying? What's the saying when you be like, make a bed and nigga be like, man, I ain't finna pay, but you got to get it out of blood.
Get it back in blood.
So basically, you saying that, say that he had to give, Mensa had to give Duke back $2 million. So you saying Miami didn't front that $2
million
for him?
Why would Miami front the $2 million? Oh, I mean, if you want to put it like Miami fronted, because Miami like, well, listen, you got the $2 million, just give it to him. We'll give you $2 million. We'll give you $2 million back, and then we'll give you what we finna give you.
Right. So that's probably – so my thing is, I think he's probably making – we haven't heard a number yet. I don't believe. I think the number is going to be similar, and that was the other thing that people tried to
like a five. You know, the giving the two back, and then the three on top of what they was going
to. Yeah, it'd be the
right around 4 to 5 million is what I'm thinking. Right, makes sense.
But so, Miami's really paying him like three, but they just fronting him the two from what part he had to pay back.
Yeah,
right, and in today's market. That's not bad. You're talking about a top five quarterback, in my opinion. I mean, I think maybe six, depending on how you want to look at it. I don't think you could drop him much further than that. And then, you know, that was the other thing that got kind of glossed over, or I don't even say glossed over. You have people, you know, that's why I actually put out that tweet under the 26 degrees account. I said they want you to believe that if they had a son who was a top tier quarterback, they would rather send him to Duke than Miami today. That again, these trolls don't make no sense. I'm the damn well. I'm talking about, oh, Daniel Jones went first round. Man, sit your ass down, man. Sit your ass down, man. You know damn well if that was your son, he had opportunity to go play at Miami or remain at Duke. You'll say, son, let's go ahead and pack our bags, get on down to Miami.
Yeah, we're going the boys to got,
they got, the boys just played for the Natty. They're going to give you a better O-line. You're going to have better weapons in general. Hell, you taking your favorite weapon with you. And they got a defense that's biting. Like, what are we talking about? This ain't a comparison.
It's nothing to even really talk about or discuss.
It's not.
Yeah.
Duke is not a better situation. I don't know why we would sit here and try to argue that. But the bigger question, I guess, so we'll get too stuck, is backing them up. Right, that's why I think it gets interesting. Is it Luke Nickell? Is it
right now for spring? It's most likely going to be Judd because Judd
Anderson, yeah. Right?
Knows the playbook a lot more than Luke. For some reason, Dawson likes Judd. I don't know why. For some reason, he likes.
I was reading the X that when it came to between Judd and Luke. It's like Luke more the gunslinger. He gonna take the chances. He gonna do, you know what I'm saying? He gonna do some stuff that might not be an ordinary. When it comes to Judd, they say even when they had like spring practice and all other type of stuff, he kind of took care of the ball more. He made better decisions. You know what I'm saying? When it came to that stuff. So I think that's probably why he probably has the nod right now. Like you said, he knows the playbook.
Yeah, he's been I think this is going to be his third year, so he better know the playbook.
Yeah, right. I mean, knowing the playbook, that could be incremental. Who's more talented is what I would be worrying
Luke,
about.
Luke is more talented than Judd. Darian Coleman is more talented than Judd. We got a walk-on quarterback that's more talented than Judd.
Exactly. I'm more talented than Joe.
Yeah, hey, man, I still go out there and throw a couple passes there
right now. Yeah.
What these Joe gonna do? Like you say, Joe gonna take care of that ball. And
that's something to be said for that. That's something to be said for that.
That pass that Carson Beck threw, the last play of the interception, Joe would have threw that thing to the end zone.
He's 6'6", 6'7", right?
Yeah.
Tall, he's a big old dude. Yeah, I seen him. Yeah, in all honesty, too, we'll see how it all shakes out. But with that old line, I don't who your backup quarterback is, probably not that important. I don't think our quarterback gonna get hurt. Like they haven't.
So we haven't had a quarterback even sprain an ankle, no nothing. Under
right, that's what I'm saying, so,
bro. He somehow got hurt. I don't know how, but he somehow.
Yeah, I don't know how he got hurt.
Oh, TBD.
Yeah, TBD. Yeah, feelings.
I hurt, man. Remember that one play? He was back there, and then he ended up sacking himself, and we were like, "Nigga, it's nobody by you."
Yeah, he ran into the offensive lineman. Yeah.
Hold on. Wasn't that NC State? Was that NC State game?
NC State. He just.
NC State, he was having 10 seconds back there to throw the ball, man. I'm like, bro, somebody gotta be fucking open, bro. Ain't no way.
But yeah, it'll be Judd and then
Luke.
So listen, this is my perspective. I think the reason why it's Judd is because they want Luke and Darion to battle it out to see who's gonna be the future. So you give them two equal opportunity instead of saying, let me put Luke second. And now Darion got to catch up. You know what I'm saying? So let's put Judd second and Luke and Darion. Now y'all both got equal opportunity to see who's going to beat each other out for next year.
I like that. That's actually that's a good strategy, honestly.
Especially if you kind of know it's not going to be Judd. Especially if you don't think you're going to need either of the two this season.
Right, right. So that lets Darion hold on to a red shirt, right? So you probably don't even put him in at all. Maybe we'll play Judd in some garbage time against some of these blowout games like FAM. We'll get them some garbage time then. And then maybe you put Darion in or Nickel in somewhere in there in that game. But other than that, unless we just smoking some other teams, they probably don't see a lot of action this year. But they'll get to compete in practice. We'll see. I mean, it'll get interesting at that point later on down the line. But I can see that for sure. So that actually makes a lot of sense.
Then it gives you the opportunity, like you say, it gives you the opportunity just in case. Game time situation. Okay, now you probably say, well, we'll put Judd in there because we know Judd ain't gonna mess around and turn the ball over. He'll hand the ball off, he'll get the ball to the little proper check downs and stuff like that. Then right. I have to say, Luke, you got to go out there and win the game. Or Darion Coleman, you got to go out there and win the game. Nah, let's just – we got somebody we know we trust a lot more, you know what I'm saying? Which is why they did want to end up keeping Emery, but Emery wants to play. You know what I'm saying? He feel like it's time for him to play. So
it's time for him to play. Yeah, Emery it's time.
Yeah, but I think next year – right, even depending on whoever we get this year, as far as a quarterback, high school quarterback, whoever we pull, I think next year, I know I'm way early, but I don't know if it's a guarantee that we take another portal quarterback because I don't think there's anybody who's not going to be in this next draft that we're thinking like, oh man, the kid is talented outside of probably the Pittsburgh quarterback, Mason Heisel. Other than that, like everybody else, the Arch Mannings and all them other ones, most of them, they probably gonna be gone because this 27 class is gonna be a real good quarterback class this upcoming year as far as these prospects and the potential of what these guys do. And then I think this year because we only playing like two what G we playing FAMU and we playing who was the other one we playing
Arkansas something like that no
we playing another. Central Michigan, yeah. Or however, we playing like two, we playing two kind of G5, FCS schools. So how many?
So you got to throw Notre Dame in there with the
coach. Yeah, but I'm just okay. But I'm thinking like, what games do we actually think that these guys are going to play. You know what I'm saying? Outside of Darion. I think that it's probably going to be Judd. And I mean, I think that it might be another, maybe one other game that we might see Judd get some reps or whatever, but I really don't see, the backup playing too much unless they feel like one of them guys probably going to transfer after the season over. If you know what I'm saying? I don't think Coleman going to transfer. I think Coleman locked in. He going to stay. I think the one that might most likely probably try to transfer is probably Luke, because I read somebody said that his family was kind of a little bit like upset that we brought in another quarterback this year. So I can imagine if we do the same thing next year, he's probably going to be gone, but we'll see. Like I said, this is premature. Just, you know what I'm saying? Just whatever.
The whole problem with Luke was him believing that he's the gunslinger. So he thinks he can make every throw, which is why Emery was the backup, because Luke came in. Luke was playing good, but Luke, a freshman, he tried to think he could make every throw. And as you know, they picking the ball off or the ball not getting to the right receiver. So that he needed to learn, which is why they doing that the way they're going to do it with him and Darion. They're going to say, well, listen, this young boy come in and he outdo you. I mean, what do you want us to do? Like, we not finna, you know what I'm saying? Or if both of y'all don't do enough to get this job, guess what? We are going to take another portal quarterback. I mean, that's just the business of the game. So,
yeah, and I think that's an unfair, like, that's a negative recruiting tool that other schools are going to use against Miami to be like, oh, well, they don't give their young quarterbacks a chance or they don't develop quarterbacks. I just think we haven't hit. I do believe if we hit, we're going to roll with them. I honestly think, to me, I think we got our guy the future in Darion. I really think there's there's something about him that instills a certain confidence in me that he can be the quarterback of the future. And I hope he is, because then that helps us in the recruiting ranks as well. Like, then you'll have that opportunity to say, well, look at Darion. Yeah, he said his first year, and then the next year he went out there and he got his opportunities and he did his thing. And I'm hoping that's how it goes, either him or Luke, one of the two. If we got to go back to the portal next year, we'll see. That's a whole nother story to be told. We'll get we'll get to that when we get to that. But yeah, we'll see how it shakes out a little bit more. Now this one is probably more interesting. Running back room, right? I think we're all shocked to see Jordan Lyle come back. I'm happy, but it does beg to question how you gonna tote the rock? And we brought Pringle back too.
Because it's funny, because if people remember, Lyle started the season. He was basically the number one going out for Notre Dame. So it ain't like he's not talented, like super talented. He just had injury bugs last year. But I was talking to my dad about that.
He just had the procedure done to his ankle. So now that's the interesting part. I don't know if he's going to be ready for spring. If he is, then he still could battle to try to win a spot. But if he's not, then he kind of falls back because, the other three will be ready. You know what I'm saying? So at this point, man, Larion said it all the time. You know, if you're not available, you know what I'm saying? What use are you to us? You know what I'm saying? And that's my guy. Right. So, but I can tell you this: if he's fully healthy, he's probably most likely going to be running back one again. He's a most talented running back, like most talented all around. He runs the ball,
right?
He blocks, he catches the ball. He's our all around.
He's most got talented. The size.
He's got
some power, and he's got some speed.
He does.
He's kind of, if you take Pringle and Fletcher and blend them together,
is
what he feels like. That's what I think makes it interesting is when you look at Marty Brown and Mark, those two are very, very similar in their like kind of Bills running style. Mark's taller, but they kind of have a similar impact in the game as far as like you're looking at these as your power backs that can rip off, you know, maybe a 50 or 60 yarder, but they probably gonna get ran down. In that 50 or 60.
I don't know, boy. That boy Marshall, like, nigga, you got can't catch me, boy.
They caught it that. Oh, he did get one. Yeah, he did rip. That's right. He did rip. I think about like A&M when he had that long. 57 yarder that they ran him down on. You know, so that's where it gets interesting to me, because it, let's say it goes the way, you know, X just said, let's say Lau emerges as RB1, then who's RB2? Is it Fletcher?
When you do pay attention to the depth chart, you be seeing it'd be like it say running back 1A, running back 1B. So whoever gets running back one, Fletcher is still running back 1A or B.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think it matters who's
he's still running back 1A or B. The most important part is who's the other running back besides Fletcher? Is it Lyles or is it Marty Brown or is it Pringle? Because Fletcher is going to be Fletcher. We already know Fletcher going to get his carries. He probably going to be the finisher of the game. But it's who's that opposite running back of Fletcher. Is it Lyles? Is it Marty Brown? Is it Pringle?
Well, we had some games where Brown was a finisher, like Ole Miss.
Brown's the finisher, but I'm saying as far as, you know, if we giving out 30 to 35 carries, Brown probably – he's only probably going to get 5 carries most likely.
And I feel like he might be content with 6 or 7, 8 carries.
Yeah, because he's still a sophomore.
He's a sophomore. So
he still could come back another year, you know what I'm saying? So if Fletcher gets 15 carries, who's going to get the other 8 to 10? You know what I'm saying? So is it going to be Lyles? Is it going to be Brown? Is it going to be Pringle?
Or vice versa, if Lyle is running back one, though. I don't know, just like you said, like, I don't know Fletcher's going to be one if Lyle's back.
No. I wasn't saying Fletcher's one, but I'm saying we know Fletcher's going to get 10-plus carries a game. So who's going to get 10-plus carries along with Fletcher?
Right. It
ain't going to be 3 running backs getting 10-plus carries. It's only going to be 2.
Right, yeah. And then the last one going to get, like, 6.
So if that's the case, then what you're saying, I'm sitting here thinking, say Lyle and Fletcher's 1 and 2, they split. So you saying if Pringle's 3, Pringle get 5 and...
Yeah, he most likely get 5. I mean, I'm just keeping the buck. If each game, if we playing 3 running backs, it's only going to be 3 running backs. It ain't going to be no 4. we could like stop that. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be 3. It's going to be...
Yes, it's not realistic.
Fletcher. It's going to be Fletcher, who's ever that other running back besides Fletcher, and then who's the backup besides them two.
So, all right.
Fourth running back.
It's a good problem to have. I'm glad. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad Fletcher came back, but I think any other running back probably would have left because of how he ended the season. Like, he went on a tear.
Yeah,
like that's why I said, like, X, I get it, and I know he wants to graduate and all that stuff. So I get it. I'm 100% behind it. I'm just saying it's a blessing to have him back because you have this problem. Right. So it's like, I think Fletcher can get 15. I still think Brown needs at least 8 to 10 touches a game, whether it be receiving and running the ball, because of what he does. Huh?
I say, so that's 25 carries. So you got another.
I think he's the best receiving back that we got. I think he's the best receiving running back we got. So I think that he should at least. If he gets like at least 8 touches a game, whether it be like 5 carries, 3, you know what I'm saying? I think he definitely needs to be the closer. That's what he does. He closes ball games. Then that's when I think Lyle can get you probably 10. I think Lyle can get you, you know what I'm saying, 8 to 10 carries. And Pringle, I would say, you know, he'll be my main return man. And then, like, sparingly, if the game's out of hand, like, all right, man, go ahead, let him get, you know what I'm saying, 3-4 carries or something like that. Just to get them in the game. But that's how I think it should go.
So this how
I don't think we're running the ball 30 times a
this
game.
This how it's normally gonna go. Far. This how it's normally gonna go, right? So we've been knowing Dawson for a couple years. We know Mario. This is kinda like, you know, when you watch basketball, you know, They get a ball. They feed the ball to the dude with the hottest hand, who hot. I think that's how it's going to be with the running game. Like, if that running back is hot that week, he going to play. You know what I'm saying? And you see throughout the season, Pringle got hot. Guess what? Pringle started playing. Once Pringle got cold, Pringle didn't play no more. You know what I'm saying? The same with Lyle. When Lyle started the season, we thought he was hot. And then he got injured. Lyle's ain't playing no more. It was the Marty Brown and Mark Fletcher show. You know what I'm saying? So, again, let's leave Mark Fletcher out of it because we know he's playing. He's going to play. It's the other three running backs who you got to say, well, how much do they play?
Well, like Meezy just said, he don't know if we're going to run 30 a game consistently. I think we're going to run 30
we did that with Cam.
Pretty consistently. Yeah.
We did that with Cam. We ran the ball with Cam. Like, and that's
I think we run 30.
I don't think everybody realized how good of a run game we had with Cam. Cam, we had a real good – Martinez and Fletcher ran the ball damn good with Cam. Then when Lyles got in, he ran the ball good. So I'm thinking the run game is a lot better now. It's going to be a lot better this year because of the fact that you got Mensa. You know, with Beck, everybody was like, man, Beck ain't going to beat us throwing the ball, so let's stop the run. You know, with Mensa, they're going to be like, okay, we got to watch the pass a little more. So it allows us to run the ball a lot more than normal, than with Beck. So 30 carries is probably normal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think 30 to 35 would be pretty average.
It'll be like Lamarion said last year, man, it's going to be – the offense going to be basically – balance. You're going to probably throw the ball 35 times. You're going to run the ball 35 times.
Yeah, hopefully.
Same way. Same thing.
If I had it my way, oddly enough, and you made some good points, D-Rob. Especially with Marty Brown as a closer. I do think he does a good job there. It's tricky, man. Like you said, good problem to have. I would probably go with Fletcher, Lyle, and Pringle. And I would honestly kind of I might shelve Brown in the sense that he's very similar to a Lyle and a Fletcher. So it makes it tricky. And I think Pringle presents the most explosion. So I want to get him his touches because I think he can turn it up. He can turn it up feel quick. And
yeah, Pringle got to get his touches. We saw that last season, like. We couldn't run the ball. We was having issues. I mean, he come in, he averaging 7 yards a pop.
Maybe Pringle might be a lot better with Mensa. And with Mensa at quarterback.
Possibly. We'll see. I mean, this is probably like you said, D-Rod, good problem to have. I didn't envision this. I really thought Lyle was gonna leave, and then we would go Fletcher, Brown, and Pringle. But
yes, so because I was looking at just like the stats just now, I was looking at the stats, right? And last year, when we had Cam as a team, we had 433 carries, right, through 12 games. So if you look at that, that's probably about like 34 carries a game almost, right? This year, obviously, we had more. We had 567, but we also played four more games, right? So If you look at it, even if we do what we did with Cam, they're still going to average, like you said, about 30-something because Damian Martinez had 160 carries, and then Mark Fletcher had 112. You know what I'm saying? So I think we're going to see something like that, and then the running back three guy is probably going to see like maybe five carries because the running back three that year had 64. So you could see him right? Like, yeah, that was Lyle.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that was Lyle.
That makes sense. Oh, good problems. We'll see. We're definitely going to see. I think after running back, I think wide receiver becomes really interesting as well, right? You have.
Oh, boy, that's that one. I don't even want to. That one finna give you a headache.
You got Malachi Toney, right? That's your slot.
Yeah, that's.
That's a wrap. Right? That's a wrap. But then you bring in Cooper Bartake. From Barkate.
He ain't come here to sit no bitch. That's locked. I mean, unless
right.
Ain't no unless he's starting. He penciled in.
He could be. Nah, he about to get beat now.
Again, it he didn't come here to sit the bench, but once they get on the practice field, if those guys' heads over the hill better than him,
then that's just what it is.
Is what it is. But as of right now, going to the spring, we could say he's wide receiver two.
Right. So you got your two. I feel like, yeah, going in spring, I think our two is locked. I think I know our slot is locked. No question about that. So then it becomes wide receiver one.
Who's X? Who's wide receiver X? Because Cooper's probably most likely going to be Z. So who's wide receiver X is?
Damn. That's between Moore, Jacobs.
Josh Moore. Yeah, but I don't think Jacobs. I don't think Jacobs is going to start here. I think he's going to be a solid number four. I don't want him because mostly what he does is what we need on the outside is just somebody taking the top off. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think that he's going to be a primary. I think it's going to be the kid from Duke. But I also, my question to that is, what competition was there at Duke for him to beat out? Nobody.
Yeah, but
don't forget,
when you put in them kind of numbers he did, you good, bro.
Yeah, I was just going to say, competition or not, once he got on the field in the game, he did what he did.
So. No, I get that. I 100% get that. But my thing is, yeah, he put up the production, but what his production beat out what Cam Vaughn did at West Virginia, because he was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to take that into consideration. Granted, I think he's going to play, and I think because of his connection that Mensa has, is obviously we know that he's going to play. But I'm just saying, I just don't want 100% just say automatically, yeah, just give him a number two spot when you got Josh Moore, somebody who's hungry, who's going to do his thing. You bring in the guy from West Virginia, Cam Vaughn, who they were high on. So it's going to be competition. The only spot to me that's locked is Malachi, obviously. I think them other two spots, they still kind of open. I think Bartek, he has the inside track because of his connection with Mensa, but I don't want to count them other guys out yet.
Yeah, I feel like he got an inside track because of Mensa and because between him and Josh Moore, I mean, there's an offseason, Josh Moore going to get better, but even route running and everything, catching the ball, I just think the Bartek just got him in that. Already,
I think I said Bartek first and fucked y'all up.
That's why I said it. I only said it because you said Bartek.
It's Bartek. Oh,
Bartek. Yeah. So I think he's just a better pure wide receiver than Moore right now. I mean, which no
Moore that's shot to Moore.
Yeah, that's no shot to Moore. He was a true freshman. You know what I'm saying? But I just think really those two spots is locked down. I just can't fathom it. I can't fathom it not being locked down. The boy's good.
Yeah. I think, again, you make a good point. And I said the same thing actually kind of in a different way right before. It's a meritocracy, right? So if someone beats out Barkate, then that's just what's going to happen. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think you got to also think about Barkate as well. He's an older guy. He didn't start at Duke. He started at Harvard. And he had opportunities before he went to Harvard to play P4 football. He just wanted to go to Harvard.
He's seen a lot more football right now.
Right. So he does a couple years at Harvard. So he's clearly a really smart guy. So his next stop is Duke, right? Another prestigious university. So you're talking about a really intelligent dude who's, his education means something to him. I'm sure he's already graduated. Right? So now he's going, all right, education locked in, and I got an opportunity now to possibly compete for the highest accomplishment in the land. So here he is coming over with a quarterback to Miami. So I think that's where he is with it. But can he be beat? Absolutely. Will he be beat? I would say unlikely. I think the bigger and funner and more interesting conversation is who takes over. Will it be Josh Moore? Will it be who's the West Virginia kid we just said?
Cam Vaughn.
Mm-hmm. I keep wanting to say Ward. That's why I was like, it ain't Ward. Cam Vaughn. Who else would be in contention?
I just think those three gonna rotate. Yeah, and you got Wingo, and Wingo's the type you're gonna have to put him out there sometime.
It feels like it. It feels like
that's what it, like, off of what everybody's saying. Like, he has to see the field first year. Like, if he don't see the field first year, he's one of those who, man, I'm hitting that portal, but there ain't no way.
I feel like earned it already. Yeah. It just in practicing, like, they like him that much. And then you got the other kid, Paris Malone.
Yeah. I think one of the two transfer wide receivers, they all play, but I don't think one of them play as much as people think.
Like, well, you got a track record to look at. Look at Tony Johnson.
I see one of them having just like 14 catches. Like, it ain't nothing but deep balls.
Right. We've shown that it's a meritocracy under Mario, right? He's shown that. So what he does is he brings in people to raise the floor and keep the competition level high. But just because you're the older guy doesn't mean you're going to get the snaps. You're going to have to take them. You're going to have to earn them. So can Wingo be in a position to compete? Absolutely. Do I think he will beat out for a starter position? No. But I do think he plays. For sure, I agree with you, Meezy.
Man, Wingo going
to Wingo might beat out one of those transfers.
He's going to be on the field the end of the season. Wingo going to be he's going to be on the field making plays for us. He ain't normal.
I think he beats out one or two transfer wide receivers, to be honest.
Right. I mean, again, you know, what you did was you brought in production because you're trying to keep – listen – before we go through the rest of it, listen, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get back to where we just left. You know what I'm saying? You're not trying to, let's rebuild or let's, you know what I'm saying, just wait for next year again. You just left the college football championship. So you bought in production to keep it going. You won 13 games. Guess what? Now you want to win 14, maybe 15, maybe 16 games. So, again, like I keep telling people, I don't care who starts the game. I care about who finishes the game. You know what I'm saying? And if we blowing the team out, guess what? I don't care who in the game. You know what I'm saying? But if we playing Texas A&M and we need to drive like how we did that time, and I want Fletcher in the game because Fletcher going to run that ball, or I want Cooper in the game because I know Mensa trust Cooper. You know what I'm saying? I want Malachi Toney in the game because I know – Tony gonna do his thing. So now it becomes, who's that third or fourth receiver that you trust? Because like I told D-Money the other day, because they asked him about what tight end gonna be on the field. I said, well, D-Money, listen, I really don't think it's gonna be tight ends on the field much. I think it's gonna be a four-wide receiver set a lot.
So I can see that.
Now who's that third and fourth receiver that you trust the most to be in the game? You know what I'm saying? And then it's possibility that you can see Lofton playing on the outside a lot more, and we don't have to trust him or worry about him being a tight end because we know at least he could block and he could catch the ball. You know what I'm saying? So that's – we just got to just go look back at – just look. I'm telling everybody now, look at what Cam did. If you look at what Cam did, Cam – we didn't have a bunch of three tight end sets with Cam. Arroyo was our guy. They put in Lofton when they could, but it was mostly four receivers on the field with Cam.
Right.
And I think Lofton played a lot of like H-back that year. It wasn't even really tight end.
Right. I think another name you got to keep, you know, because he got some burn at the end of the year. I think he got hurt. Dalen Upshaw. Yeah, it's another name. I think wide receiver is a position where we just have some good depth. And
running back. It's the same running back.
Right.
We blessed with depth. We blessed with talent and depth where you can say we got 6 to 8 guys we could put in the game, and we trust all. You know what I'm saying? So
right. Yeah. Real talk. Somebody going to leave because that's the nature of the game, you know, but we don't have a second window, so they won't leave this season.
Well,
you know, but they'll carve their way.
You lose Cooper. You lose the one from West Virginia, you lose the one from the what do you call it? The one from South Carolina, you lose those three.
Vandrevious. He's already. He only got 1 year left.
No, he got two. He got two because he was at.
He got 2 years.
Yeah, both him and Vaughn both got 2 years left.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they
somebody escaped, but that's what it is. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. Every school is gonna deal with that. It could be the older guys too, though. That's the other thing. Let's say Cam Vaughn gets out there and don't get his burn. Vandrevious get out there and don't get his burn. Then they're gonna leave.
But you don't want one of the younger guys to leave before they do, though.
You hope not, but I mean, maybe he's just not him. It is what it, you know. It's the part of the game that we just got to deal with now because you have a portal and transferring ain't what it used to be. You used to have to at least sit a year, and now that's not an issue. Yeah, guys gonna get up out of there if they see the writing on the wall. They're not going to compete and try to climb their way up because every year somebody trying to take your spot. You know,
you drop a couple balls, that might be your ass.
That could be it. Some guys get tight. You look at the JoJo Trader who made some plays for us, but who definitely left some plays on the field. I think he could use the benefit of transferring out to relax and just have fun playing football again. I think JoJo, because being a little nicked up, he got into a situation where he felt like pressure to make plays every chance he got to get on that field. And I think that hurt him more than it helped him. Same thing for Jordan Lyle. I think Jordan was, you know, he was the starter and things were going good. Then get a little banged up. And now he's scared to not look great every time he go get the football. And so you press.
Yeah, you could see him. You could see Lyle pressing last year.
And you can't. That's just the truth of the matter.
Ray Ray was like that 2 years ago. I remember the full game. Nah. You almost didn't even see it.
Let's leave the Ray Ray stuff out of it. Let's just move on.
All right. Yeah, true.
Yeah. Luke about to pop up right now. Luke. Yeah.
so much horrible scrutiny. I don't even want to speak on Ray Ray no more because that's my homie, man. And
yeah, listen.
He got thrown in the fire, and he had nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? So.
We want the best for Ray Ray, bro. That's a young black man out there pursuing his dreams. Absolutely want the best one. Honestly, I hope he beat out Malachi. I didn't think Malachi was going to be who he is. He can't help it, though. The kid can't be denied.
We was all saying that we hope this the year he pulled it together.
Yeah. And we're rooting for him, for sure. Like, bullshit aside, like, no jokes, no funny shit. I want everybody to win to the level they're going to win because everybody's not going to see the NFL. Everybody's not going to be a star. That's just not how it works. But you can, you know, enjoy the most of your college experience, network with people, and find yourself in a great career situation later on because everybody's not going to leave. That's just the truth of it. Yes, and I'm not saying he's not. He may refer at East Carolina and go on to be a first-round pick. I don't know that. We'll see. But, again, I think the way things are, you know, these young guys aren't going to hang on forever to try to figure all this stuff out. And that's cool. It's fine. It's what you got to do. Tight end, I think.
Tight end, you got two guys. You got
it's clear. Yeah, it's pretty clear.
Lofton and Gilbert, those are the two guys. They like Gilbert because Gilbert could do both. He can pass. I mean, he could catch the ball and he could block. He's a big guy. Gilbert is what, 6'7"? Yeah, if you look at him, it's like it's almost looking at like you're looking at Jeremy Shockey, to be honest. He's not Jeremy Shockey though.
Shockey wasn't that tall even though, right? Shockey what, 6'4"?
6'7",
yeah. That's it. Okay, I thought he was like 6'4".
Yeah, Shockey's tall, man. So those are your two guys at tight end. Dale Work knows one of the freshmen in or the guys who came in last year and stuff like that. Like I say again, you barely gonna see two tight end sets. So get ready for four wide receivers.
Yeah, I think you're on to something there as well. I don't think we're going to see a lot of two tight end sets, be a lot of single tight end situations. You can see two tight ends. Hold on, I'll let you go in 1 second, T. I think you can see two tight ends in the way that you may see Lofton at fullback and then Gilbert at tight end. But go ahead.
You're saying the four wideout sets. you still think we run the ball as many times we did when we had Cam Ward and them? Because there was a lot of times we would have Arroyo out there and what's his name?
But Arroyo was up.
Old man.
But Arroyo was the fourth. Go ahead. My bad. Please. Go ahead.
No, so if we run in four wide receiver sets, you still think we're running 30, 35 times a game. That's what I was saying earlier. Because four wide receiver sets, you got to put that motherfucker out. You still going to run the ball, but shit. Because you're bringing back a brand new offensive line almost too, and then you're saying you're not really going to have a tight end out there. That has to affect the run game, to me. And you're supposedly throwing a true freshman out there at tackle. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's just my thought process.
That, I mean, if he plays tackle, we'll see. We'll get to that in just a second. Who do y'all think will be the first tight end in after, you know, we're looking at, you know, obviously Lofton and almost Gilbert. Rock shot. Gilbert.
You still remember, you still got Jackson Carver there.
Is he ever going to play?
I mean, I think he'll most likely be the third tight end. He's been in the system for 3 years.
I mean, they're saying that freshman Gavin Mueller might.
I think Mueller might jump.
Yeah, Gavin Mueller, he looks the part too. But again, when you talk about a guy who's been in the system,
no, right?
Spring, you know what I'm saying? You just say he'll be there for now. You're not saying he's going to be the eventual guy after spring or going further, but just going into spring as of now. He's tight end 3 because he's been in the system for 3 years, I think. I'm not sure.
He's just been hurt.
Wait, who? Carver?
Jackson Carver.
I thought this was Carver's second year.
No, I'm pretty sure it's third year.
Yeah, he should be a red shirt sophomore this year.
Yeah. But he took an injury red shirt, medical red shirt, excuse me. And then, the other tight end you got is Israel Briggs, but I think Briggs will need a year to just get weight up.
Yeah, Briggs
just
gonna
get stronger.
Because I see him and he's straight up and down. Not saying he's just skinny, but he's not.
Tight
so
end
he kind of reminds me of when David Njoku first got here. Like David Njoku, you just see like, okay, his body can gain the weight, but he needs to gain the weight. He just, you know what I'm saying? Right now, he just looked like
He like Jalen Phillips to me.
Yeah, he's just an athletic guy, so.
He looked like Jalen to me. Like, I could see where he could fill out, and I think he will. You know, you hear some things about him, like, young man had he's got kind of a rough family life and come from some harsher circumstances. So, you know, we get him in there, get that boy on 3 good squares a day, plenty of steak and shrimp. And, you know, just get his size up, get his strength up this year. I think he's going to be a guy that could be in that Arroyo mold. I don't know if he'll ever get quite as heavy as him, but I think he could run around at 240.
I don't want him to get that heavy.
I don't think he's fit to do that.
Because Arroyo has some size coming in.
But
Arroyo's a bigger dude.
He came in. You just knew he was going to be big. But
Briggs 200 is what they got him listed at right now. Yeah. I'd like to see him eventually get to 240 over his career, not in a year.
If it's a full 4 years, you say gain 10 pounds each year, then yeah, but
right, yeah, not next year.
I feel like he tops out at like I don't know something about his how it looks.
225.
Like,
I think he get to 225.
I was gonna say like 220.
Then he a wide receiver.
So do you think he's more like Jahlil Skinner was when he got here? That's another example.
Nah.
Because he was like skinny, because Skinner was like 6'5", but he was also skinny. He was like 190.
And then he never found a role. So I
think
Briggs will find a role unless he can get up to that weight.
No, but Briggs more – if you really look at Skinner really wasn't like good coming out of high school, if you really think about it. Like Briggs – I don't know. I'm not trying to sell out, but like Briggs –
you're good.
I don't want to say good, but like Briggs was – like
you already Skinner said it.
Skinner was catching like 10 passes a year in high school, if you really look at it.
Right.
15 passes. Like Briggs is like, what, 50 catches out there in a weak talent. I mean, weak competition.
Could he be a wide receiver eventually then? That's what I think.
I don't know if he's that fast enough to be a wide receiver. So you probably know, yeah. Because what's Florida State receiver named Deuce Robinson? Deuce Robinson was a tight end coming out of high school, but then he gets to college, they put him as a receiver. I think he increased his speed. Now if he does, now if Briggs increases his speed, then yeah, you can put him at.
Right, he could be a monster, right? Yeah, you're looking at a guy that's 6'4". And if he can get fast, right, now you're looking at, okay, wait a minute, this is a different beast, a different weapon altogether. So something to watch. You know, of course, you know, I just don't see him playing at all this year. I just threw the name in there because we, you know, I was thinking about Gavin Mueller will probably be the third tight end. But that's a good call on Jackson Carver. If he's healthy, you know, he hadn't played a lot of football either. So that's the part. But same thing for Mueller. Mueller hadn't played a lot of football either.
Carver was more your blocker, though. Like, I can't remember.
Carver was the blocker.
Why I added Carver, because I'm like, I guess they would rather let Carver block more than letting Gavin Mueller. You know what I'm saying? As of now, but those would be like the three tight ends, Lofton, Gilbert, and then Carver. And then, you know, play one of the young guys. I don't expect that many tight ends to get played that much anyway this year. So
I think we go 3D. I think it'll be the two you mentioned. And then I think the third will be interesting. Barring the injury, I think the third will either be Mueller or Jackson Carver will be our third tight end. All right, O-line.
Left. You got Cantwell going to be the left tackle. McCoy going to be left guard. It looks like it's either going to be Ryan Rodriguez or CJ. I mean, not CJ, SJ.
SJ.
SJ. Yep.
But then that changes instantly because we just got Joe Klein, who can play guard or center. Right guard, it looks like right guard can most likely be Mayweather. And then tackle, they probably going to put Sampson out to right tackle.
Okay.
I feel like Sampson's been playing so good at guard, just don't even mess with it, though.
That's what I wanted. But Mayweather a lot better at guard than at tackle.
I think
him at guard. It's either Sampson go to guard. It's either Sampson go to tackle or McCoy go to tackle. I'd rather Sampson go to tackle because Sampson played tackle a lot more than McCoy. McCoy has been a guard ever since he got to college. You know what I'm saying? When McCoy did try tackle, he looked bad. I don't want
to. What about Okolola? Okolola ain't really playing no tackle, has he?
Remember his freshman year, and then before he ended up getting hurt, he played a lot more tackle. Right. Guard.
Yeah, I feel like they were trying to put him at tackle, but then he just found out, man, this dude's just a better guard naturally.
What about all right? So Jamal Merriweather, we brought in. Is that just a guard? He's a big guy too.
Yeah, they like him at guard. They like him at guard a lot better than him playing tackle. So yeah, he's gonna.
He's another like 6'6", 6'7" guy, right? Like you're talking about.
He like 6'7", yeah.
He'll probably be our tallest guard since I can't remember, but yeah, he's probably gonna be one of our tallest guards ever. 6'7" is tall. Like that's not small at all.
Center, I think center gets interesting, right? You said SJ, who I think there's a good chance, but Ryan Rodriguez is gonna be back. I think Ryan Rodriguez has a great opportunity to take that center position as well, if not Jonathan Klein. So that will get interesting. I don't think we go to the portal at all for that position. So I think that'll be a battle. It'll be Rodriguez, Oliver Tooley.
SJ, as of now, I think they probably let Klein battle for a guard position. But again, I said he can come in and be that center because I think that's what we was recruiting him coming out of high school as a center.
Yeah, yeah. I think he played more guard in high school, but we recruited him as a center.
As a center, so that's
he's only like 6'2".
No, Klein is like 6'4".
I'm talking about Oliver Tooley.
SJ.
He's about 6. Well, so man, he pushes 6'2". He might be smart.
Man, I thought before he got in Miami, I thought that boy was like 6'4", man.
They listed him 6'3" coming out of high school, but that man like 6'1", man. So,
which you're right, we played him at fullback. You know what I mean? That's what he got to play for us. He got the field now. He got the field and he laid some shots out on some players. I think those five for sure. The only one that I question a little bit is, will it be Oliver Tooley or Ryan Rodriguez? And then you look who will be coming in afterwards. You know, we already mentioned Jonathan Klein. Joel Irvin, I think, is a freak athlete. I think
he's going to be trying to get that left guard. I mean, the right tackle on spot.
I wonder if he's a better left, though, than Cantwell.
I was thinking, honestly, that they said Miami staff thought he might have been, like, the best tackle in the nation, for real.
Nice. Watch his tape.
Interesting, nice. Because I think now you have to say, me personally, I would have put Cantwell at the right tackle spot. I would let him follow CeCe.
Yeah. Yep. That would be my thought process.
I guess they saying he can be the left tackle.
Miss is right-handed, right? Yeah, he's right-handed.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. So that'd be his blind side.
I would rather, an older, more experienced guy protect his blind side. And then let it shake from there. Joel, we'll see, because that's getting like a year ahead. I think Joel, man, might honestly be the better left tackle out of the two. We'll see.
He had a preseason done too. Yeah. So that's another thing that you got to pay attention to.
Yeah, I'm not even talking this year. This year, I definitely think Cantwell. That's why I said I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Cantwell will definitely be on that field for sure. I think Joel was sitting this year.
I thought you meant for this year.
No, yeah, I thought I was getting ahead of myself. Yeah.
Do y'all think
Buchanan, another one who they absolutely love. They say he's probably the most toughest O-line we have now. Like,
he looked like it.
Yeah, he one of those.
He do.
Who's that?
That one white boy be fighting in it.
Yeah, one of the white boy he probably had to fight. Like, dog, the play over. Why you still blocking me, man? The play over. Like, he's falling on you. Putting his stomach
on, like he bucked something. Yeah. And then another guy I think will be interesting to see where he fits in the rotation that they've liked. And I think he's coming out of Jersey and, you know, not playing the best football competition out there, I think. But I think he's developing Juan Manaya. I think he presents a threat at guard as well.
That's a big boy.
But it's a guy, y'all not mentioning his name. Wilkerson, that guy right there is
very Jaden Wilkerson.
Athletic. Yeah. They say he's real athletic.
He's very athletic. They say when he pulls, he is a mountain that can move.
Well, you know, again, it's another guy. Not a lot of football. He's a basketball player more.
Basketball player, yeah.
So is he a year away or is he a this year contributor?
I think he can play this year. I'm not saying he can start, but he can play this year. He can help us out a lot. You get through spring, man. That's gonna be the most important thing. Get through spring and seeing which guys Coach Mirabal trusts. You know, last year, man, we looked at our D line and we knew the D line was good. And I think this year, you know, everybody's saying, well, you know, you lost Bane, you lose Mazador, you lose Blake. Man, our D-line is going to be freakish. Like, freakish. You know what I'm saying? So, is what I expect it to be. And if that O-line can hold up, I think, well, we're going to have another excellent good O-line. Because, man.
Again, I was asking y'all, do y'all think the line is scary, y'all.
Ready this year.
Scare would be too big a word. Do I think there'd be some drop off for sure? Because we losing a lot of experience.
Yeah.
But, you know, my O-line coach still got his arm and legs. He said he'll cut them all before he let this O-line be bad. And it won't be bad. That's not something I'm ever going to worry about under the Mario regime. Will it be a step back? For certain. It's not going to be as good as our line last year. I think our line last year was overlooked.
It's going to be young.
Yeah, I think our O-line wasn't in enough conversations. Like, what's that? What's the award for like best O-line?
I think the Joe Moore Award or something like that.
Joe Moore,
right? I think we got disrespected there. I think that they didn't respect our squad like that.
They did the year before too.
Yeah, they
honestly, they yeah. I think it's just because they're thinking of Miami in that way. But when you look at our quarterbacks and you look at our running game, you know, last year we was like top three in running. Yards per carry. Cam didn't get dirty. You look at this year, Dak didn't really get dirty a lot, you know, and some of the sacks he did take was on him. Running game came more alive as the year went along. I think our old line, they got to start putting a little more respect on it all together. I think we have a top five old line in the nation watching just enough football. And it showed. Think about how we looked in the playoffs.
Yeah. Right? The old line was
– that's the best now. We playing Ohio State, Texas A&M. These are two elite D lines, right? Didn't look scary at all.
We moving them.
We move these guys around.
Yeah.
I don't hear my old line mentioned like that. And that's like, what are y'all watching? And that goes to show you, man, these people, these pundits, these talking heads, they can't watch every game either. I get it. They just go with, Iowa. Iowa's going to always have a good old line, so we'll just say Iowa every year.
Michigan.
That's just an easy answer.
Yeah. You see all the offensive lines like that was in that thing were all Big Ten offensive lines, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. The traditional answers. That's what I'm saying. The traditional answers. That lets me know they ain't watching all this ball, man. And you can't. But you got to wake up. You got to wake up and stop just, you know, phoning it in because that's what it is. Miami's offensive line should be mentioned. Every time we play the games, this is one of the biggest, meanest, toughest O-lines in the nation. But when it comes to these wars and it comes to, you know, giving up the do, you just don't hear it like that. But, step back, but I still think good.
Before we slide, I know it's one more name that I know the staff is heads over the heels for. It's Ben, the freshman. He just got here, too.
Ben Cogden.
Yeah, him.
From Ohio. He the wrestler, right?
Yeah.
Crazy thing is, they say he's still growing. They say he's still growing, and he's already six and a half, so he's still growing. He possibly could grow to like a 6'8".
Another Markell Bell.
Man, I don't know. Hey, trust Coach Mario and Coach Mirabon for the O-line, man. They doing
good. Oh, yeah.
When they go
get We're going to be good, though. All right. Well, we'll wrap there for now. We're going to come back with you guys, look at the defensive depth chart. We'll throw special teams in there as well because that's pretty much defense anyways. And it ain't that much depth to go over. But we'll get into it for sure. Appreciate everybody pulling up with us. Listen, man, D-Rob is like locked in with the dog. That's the funniest shit.
Yeah,
he was had a whole moment. You see that shit?
I seen like 5 minutes ago. You know, Rob usually on here trying to talk some more. Rob was like, nah, I got to handle the dog.
No doubt.
He been in the cage all day, man. He been in the cage all day. So when I came home, yeah, man.
You still love him.
I feel you. No doubt. All right, man. Well, we'll be back. Like I said, we'll come back. We'll spank out, take an early look at the defensive depth and the special team. Man. Until then, we'll holler at you. Peace.
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 We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.